Take day trips, look at the tank.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Trying to pick my fantasy team for this week, Houston Open. You guys think Jordan will bounce back? Or no?
Jordan Hicks, the linebacker?
No, Jordan Spieth.
Oh.
The golfer. I just don't see it. I'm hoping, but I just don't see it. I'm gonna go with another Texas golfer though, but I'm not telling you who. You guys will copy it for your team.
Texas is back, folks.
You guys will copy it for your team.
I had a scout send me I woke up to a long. Well, he copied and pasted it from something on the phone. But it was about Texas losing their commitments.
Yeah.
And he said, they better hurry up and get Urban or they're going to do damage for years. This is going to start doing damage for years to come.
Maybe they don't need all those 4 and 5 stars.
No, I think you need them typically in top rated.
Well,
guys.
How about you get players that you can actually coach up? How about players that'll, you know.
Hey.
How about go get some dogs?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like last I saw, one of your guys at Texas flipped to Alabama. So last I saw, they get coached up pretty hard. That's about as hard as it gets. So I don't know that it's the 4 and a 5 star thing. I don't know what it is. Texas had a reputation now for a while. Mac had a lot of really good players, and then once it started going bad for him on a recruiting trail. Man, it did damage for years to come because he left the cupboard pretty empty for Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong had this big, strong recruiting class, and then all the guys from Florida disappeared. I don't even know if any of them even played. I think one guy may have played a little bit. Malik Jefferson didn't end up being the star that people thought and all that. It can happen. It's funny. When you have a couple of really bad recruiting classes or, decommits and stuff like that, it can really, really set you back. I know right now, I don't know what happened to LSU. I know LSU lost a bunch of players to the pros. But I'm not sure. I've heard, they don't have guys behind them right now. And I don't know if they had attrition through portal transfers or if they didn't recruit as well in one class. Like Florida State, I know that's been a major issue for Florida State too, Dell. Has been they have not put together the classes. Notre Dame for years. All these headline programs, when you don't develop or you have back-to-back bad classes, it can do tremendous damage to a headline program.
Well, Florida State, one of their issues is their line play has been so awful. They haven't been able really since
the Jameis championship.
I told the story before about how opposing teams put out a compilation of Florida State quarterbacks getting destroyed in the pocket, and this was happening under Jimbo. Kellen Mond thankfully doesn't have those same problems, but that has been a thing forever. They have been a bad offensive line since Jameis left, and maybe the year after. And it didn't help that they haven't been able to recruit a big time quarterback. Sam Howell committed. Then when Mac Brown got the job at North Carolina, he went there. The kid who beat them in Week 1 this year, what's his name? Jeff Sims was a Florida State commit until the new coach came in and said, "Nah, we don't want you." So they're struggling at quarterback. Those have been their issues. They can't protect, and they haven't been able to find a quarterback.
So Lance, have you looked at Samuel Cosme? Have you looked at Caden Stearns? Have you looked at this guy Joseph Asai?
I just watched him on TV. Asai is their best talent.
My God, did he have a game against Oklahoma State?
He had a monster game. He's their best talent. Cosme is solid. Needs to get a lot stronger. That's a big concern. If you're not strong enough, you can't play in the league. I think he looks like a day two tackle to me.
Well, they've got him. The boys over at ESPN have him as a first rounder.
Yeah, I know. They always do stuff like that. You can't trust their stuff early on. But, I respect the work that they're putting in. But Cosme, if you're not strong enough as a tackle, tackle is immediately going to push you up. It depends on how deep the tackle draft is. If it's weak, then he'll get pushed up. But I think he looks like, from a grade standpoint, you know, a second or third, like a day two type guy, the same as Ezra Cleveland last year from Boise, who I think I drafted in the third. He has some of the same characteristics as him. Now, Osai is really moving up the charts, but yep. I need to study him. And Caden Stearns is what he is, kind of a Kenny Vaccaro, flies in, will smack you in the mouth. Overshown, there's rumors that Overshown is going to be considering going pro early. I think he's a junior, right? I believe Overshown's a junior. They moved him from defensive back down to linebacker because his frame is – he's long. He looks like he's got a linebacker frame. So Overshown is another guy I've heard that is – I think he's an underclassman because I thought I heard he's considering coming out. But moving him to linebacker is interesting. B.J. Foster. Listen, that big recruiting class from 18 – when they come out, they're getting drafted, B.J. Foster, Stearns, Overshown, but they're not going to be drafted like a bunch of first-rounders.
That's what Texas has in the league now. They got a bunch of guys in the league, like about 15 to 20 guys in the league, and none of them are stars. None of them. I mean, it's unbelievable how they're just guys. And Texas should have a bunch of guys that are, you know, because they came in to Texas – as 4- and 5-star guys, one of some of the best in the country, and then they leave as just NFL guys, which ain't easy. I mean, it ain't easy to be an NFL guy, but it's amazing how they don't get anybody that's like.
But this is through several coaches. Too,
no,
Joe.
Right.
This is what's weird is like you would think it's in the NFL we'd say or NBA or whatever you'd say. Oh, that's ownership. It starts at the top. Well, there's no GM. There's no owner. Like it's different head coaches with different philosophies, and yet you're getting the same results. It's a little strange.
They would get Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles, and even though they weren't huge stars at Texas, they turned into huge stars in the league.
Right.
You know?
Derek Johnson, multi-time pro bowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was. I mean, he was their best player defensively when he was there. Jamal Charles was a guy at Texas.
Well, Vince Young.
Vince Young. Well, yeah. Well, that's a different deal. Let me ask you this. We forgot to talk about this. This Kylan Hill story, Mississippi State running back, he's opted out now after, it was weird when he didn't play for the first time that they were just like, Leach was just like, well, he's just not playing. And it was like, really? He's just not playing? And now he's decided he's opting out of the season. If I'm in the league, first of all, he was pretty outspoken in the offseason. And I'm not playing if you don't change the flag, which is admirable.
And by the way, that flag got changed officially yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How about that? So it was admirable what he did. Don't get me wrong, but he hasn't played well. He doesn't have anybody in front of him, and he doesn't have the offense is just one of the worst in the league in all of college football after their first week against LSU. But now he just said, we suck, I'm out.
So apparently multiple Mississippi State players have done that. And Kylan Hill is the guy with the biggest name. This is the nightmare. This is what I was worried about, and this is the nightmare scenario for college football. And it is worth paying attention to because I think the phrase opt out is now a thing, right? Opt out because of COVID. We had never heard opt out before. But now it's part of the lexicon of college athletics. And Mississippi State is not opting out because of COVID right now. Those players aren't. This is the big concern for college football is having players and good players begin to opt out in the middle of a season because they want to go get prepared for the draft or they don't want to get hurt or whatever the case may be.
Well, their team sucks.
The team sucks, but it still doesn't matter. Even if your team sucks, if you have guys just disappear on you,
an excuse, though. If you're leaving, and again, I wonder if I'm in the interview for Kylan Hill, if I'm interviewing him, I'm like, why'd you quit on your team, dude?
Right, right. Well, I don't think it's a benefit. No, the players aren't going to realize.
But you
it's
can't
going to hurt them.
Are you
going to
be able to do this, especially quitting on your team? You've got a bad team. If there's no COVID, we got a vaccine and everybody's fine, there's the 90,000 in the stadiums,
you're still going to opt out?
Well, no. I'm going to tell you, that's a huge red flag.
Well, Paris Ford did it, too. I don't know what you think of Paris Ford, the safety for from Pitt, Lance. Mm-hmm. But the team is on a, I think now, a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, he just quit.
He said, "All right, I'm done here." He put it on COVID concerns, but people respond, "Wait a minute, you played 7 games and now COVID's a concern."
It's not COVID.
I don't want to play here anymore. I don't want to go. Look, I want to be on this team who's not winning. I got to go through COVID protocols. Nah, I'm gonna be a college kid and get ready for the draft.
Yeah, and the COVID protocols are going to be in place next year too. I mean, don't think it just goes away. It's not going to go away. They're still going to have COVID protocols. It may not look exactly the same. But, Del, to your point, that's exactly what's happening. Guys, when their teams aren't good, they're going to start shutting it down. And if this becomes a thing throughout college football, that's a big, big issue.
Well, are you not – I mean, if you go Vontae Davis and you just quit on your team – I mean, you could do that when you're retiring. But you do that in college, and I'm an NFL GM, I don't want that guy.
Well, you can say that, but if they get drafted, I mean, I don't think it's
going to
change.
If they get drafted, again, they're going to lose a bunch of money because you're losing draft slots.
There's two things that are going to happen that COVID is going to allow to happen that the NFL's been worried about and college football's been very worried about. The guys who opt out of their junior year because they don't want to get hurt, or the guys who opt out in the middle of the season because they're tired of playing on a bad team or they just want to get ready for the pros. This is the nightmare scenario. And even if it's a few teams, like North Carolina had a whole secondary disappear. Mississippi State's having players go. Virginia Tech had Caleb Farley go. Like, more and more guys are going to start doing this. This is going to become a reality the same way the people didn't think the transfer portal was going to be that big a deal, and then it was a monster deal. Like, it's holy crap. It is the transfer portal is flooded with players unhappy that they don't play right away. They're going to jump in the transfer portal immediately as freshmen. You're going to see players start quitting in the middle of the season to get ready for the draft. And then you're right. I mean, there's going to be NFL teams who say, you know, man, that's a red flag. But there's going to be other teams who just say, you know what? Yeah, I don't like it, but I think this guy can play. So if I don't think he's a giant quitter, then we'll look past this.
You're answering the question, though. Does he love football? I mean, immediately you're answering the question. Or is he just in it for the money? Or is he in
– well, a lot of these guys are in it for the money now.
Well, yeah. But I want a guy that loves football. And you know, that's one of the number one questions of NFL GMs.
So I was talking to Alonzo about this yesterday. We were talking about the Mississippi State situation. And I said, can you – and he just said, guys just don't love it like they did anymore. Like, I said, can you imagine your team in Miami, the guys that you had? He goes, oh, we wanted to win so bad.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
We wanted to play football. We wanted to.
Can you imagine Ed Reed at Miami and Kylan Hill says he's quitting? Ed Reed would have punched his – would have crushed him.
Ray Lewis, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You're not – well, any number of those old Miami teams would have. And it is generational now. I just want to point that out. I think it's going to be span across – multiple programs, because you will have guys now, if they don't play right away, they're jumping in a portal, and if they don't, you know, they're not going to wait it out, and then if they're not happy, if they think they want to get their bag and they don't want to get hurt, or they just think it's not worth playing and going through the grind of getting through a season, I think you're going to see them shutting it down and just start going to because they can start getting paid by an agent right away.
Yep.
Yeah. And they can start their process.
Let's go.
No class anymore.
And the more money you got, the more Coors Light you can buy, as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm talking about. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. The official beer of playing golf today at Wildcat, which is what I'm going to do. It's the official beer of that for me. It's the official beer of watching the elections. It's the official beer of not watching the elections. It's the official beer of whatever you're doing, playing poker. Yeah, it's the official beer. It's the official beer of everything I do. Bothering Dell, official beer of that. That's what it is. That's my life. That's my favorite thing. Bothering Dell with a Coors Light. That's right. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. And when those mountains are blue, you know it's Texas chill, baby. And it's time for you to chill with a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you guys see this? Are you guys planning on moving to Oregon anytime soon?
No. I know what you're referring to, but I don't think it's in the plans right now.
You don't think that it's worth moving? I know Portland's got some problems right now, but they're going to be fixed. They're going to be fixed right now. This is, I think this is the answer to all of your problems. They decriminalized all drugs. Any drug, $100. For possession of any drugs of $100 for your personal use. It doesn't matter what the drug is. Anything. Coke. Apparently they have legalized the use of, what is it called? It starts with PS. Psilocybin. Psilocybin? It's a hallucinogenic that's in mushrooms. So, I mean, do you think everybody in the country now is going to move to Oregon?
No.
You don't think so?
Would you?
I don't know. Sounds like a good time.
I mean, you are putting Portland on the entire state of Oregon. I mean, not all Oregon is Portland, Lance.
No, the rest of it is rural.
Right.
Here's what
beautiful
Portland
though.
Is.
A lot of trees, I think.
It's very something. Beautiful. I've spent some time in Oregon. It's Portland. It's the Oregon coast is fantastic, but it's a lot of rural and it's some wine stuff, and that's it.
Oh, Oregon those wines are excellent.
And it's a lot of wrestling. There's a lot of wrestlers that come out of there, too.
Really?
They're a rougher.
Well, now there's going to be a lot of druggies that come out of there.
Well, I mean.
I mean, you say it like it's a bad thing. Like it's a good time, like it's a party.
That's been going on for a while now. Haven't they had dispensaries? Like, that's not been a.
I know, but this is, everything is legal now. Everything.
Well, come on. Portland made it legal for homeless people to sleep anywhere they wanted in the streets.
Thank you.
And Portland really basically, Portland is becoming a libertarian's dream. It's like there's almost no rules at all. You can just roll up and do what you got to do.
Well, I mean, it just seems like a fun, I don't know. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, you should go. You should move there and see how Wendy likes it.
I'm sure. Is there a Portland television station there? I'm sure they have one. That'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Get to have all the fun and we don't get to have any?
Yeah, says the guy who plays golf and poker nonstop, flying around in jets, going to suites. Will you stop?
Yes.
And you want to move there because you get to eat mushrooms?
Stop listening to him. This is a guy who wouldn't even put edibles on a plane and bring them back from Colorado. He ain't got no interest in going to a place where drugs are allowed.
Stop, Mr. Weed Factory.
He wouldn't even sneak on edibles. Forget it. On a private plane.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
On a private plane.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
When's the last time he wore his Weed King shirt or whatever?
Weed King?
Whatever it's called.
King's Garden.
Yeah, I don't see that shirt anymore.
No. Well, we finally got some dividends for a change. Gosh.
Dang. Oh, okay.
What a disastrous investment that was. 713-780-3776 is the number. What about, hey, okay, Dell. If ukulele beats Notre Dame this week.
Ukulele?
Yeah, Clemson.
I'm going to call him ukulele. His mama called him ukulele.
She clearly did not call him that.
She actually, he's more like her. Not so much like the dad who he had to block on Twitter because he's over the top.
Yeah, he blocked his dad.
I'm not letting him get to me.
Wait, what?
He blocked his dad on Twitter because his dad was so over the top of talking about him that he didn't want that rat poison. But no, I'm not listening.
Right.
Hold on, his own dad?
His own dad. Well, his dad is very effusive in his praise of him.
And he didn't want that in his head. Lance, don't worry. Maddie will block you on social media at some point.
Wait, do you know that one time when I was going to post a video of my wife, I didn't want her to see it because I'd posted a video of her losing her crap against Baylor. And so I blocked her and then unblocked her because that'll force somebody to unfollow you. So I blocked and then unblocked. Oh, no, actually, I blocked her. That's what I did. I blocked her just while I was putting this video out there, and then I unblocked her, and she found out that I had blocked her, and then so she refused to follow me on Twitter again for like a full year. She's like, okay, that's fine. I don't need to follow you. You got stupid stuff anyway. And she goes, you post that again about me, and I'm like, what? It's what my life is. You know that I have to put my life out there on Twitter and what kind of sandwiches I'm eating. That's the rules on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Put that stuff out there. But here's my question. You're blocking your dad on social media. Can't he just text you or go into your room or call you and say the same thing?
Well, he doesn't live with them anymore. So he lives on campus.
He can call or text. Yeah,
he calls him and texts, and he says,
"Well,
Dad,
if you're about that life, then block his number."
But his dad is very effusive in his praise, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't need that in his life. He wants to stay low key, and he wants to stay humble. So he you know what? That poison that Lil Nick talks about. That's what he's against. He doesn't need that poison in his life. Nick Saban.
Little Nick?
That's his name, Little Nicky. Isn't it?
No, that's a Sandler movie you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I thought his name was Little Nicky.
No, you call him that because
anyway,
of your hate.
What if ukulele beats Notre Dame?
Ukulele.
What? I don't know. They're a lock to.
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, Notre Dame's done. This is a bad thing. It's kind of a no-win situation for Notre Dame. You don't have Trevor Lawrence.
If Notre Dame loses to Clemson's backup quarterback, by the way, they're not favored to win that game. Clemson is DJ Uiagalelei. Yeah. If they lose to him, their only opportunity is to play them again in the ACC title game. They'll have the opportunity. Possibly. It's not locked up. Both they and Miami would have one loss, and it comes down to weird tiebreakers in the ACC.
Well, right. But if they, let's face it, if they don't beat Uiagalelei, how are they going to beat Trevor Lawrence?
His name's not Uiagalelei.
It kind of is.
It's not.
It's still a big game. I mean, any way you look at it.
No. It's a big game. But, man, if I'm Notre Dame, I'm like, holy, this sucks.
Because
we ain't going to get the credit for it because no Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yes, you
They'll
will.
Get credit
You're a dog.
They're underdog.
You're an underdog in the game. You absolutely will get credit for it.
Yeah.
Especially if you win convincingly.
Again, if Notre Dame wins, everybody's going to go, well, they didn't have Trevor Lawrence. And people are going to say that.
That's fine.
That's without a doubt.
Yeah, I know they had a five-star
recruit.
People
will say that. Will the CFP committee say that?
It's not going to be nearly as good a win.
If Notre Dame has a win against Clemson and then they go play Clemson again and lose close, they have a real shot to still make it.
It's still a really good win. This kid is a five-star recruit.
And he played really well. There's evidence that he's a good player.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad in the first half. They just didn't score because Travis Etienne had fumbled at the goal line.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, I think a win over a five-star recruit when you're the underdog is a massive win for Notre Dame. The question is, can they do the same thing when they see him again? You know, that's obviously going
to
be a question.
Their problem, they will have to do it twice.
So let's say they lose by 14 to Clemson in the ACC championship game. They're out.
Oh, they're done. Yeah.
They're out.
No, they have to beat Clemson twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to beat Clemson twice. Well, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. If you're Clemson, because you have the cachet built up, you can lose this game and still get into the playoffs.
Well, what will be interesting is if they lose to Ukulele, but they beat Trevor Lawrence. Then you've got an issue.
They may be too far out at that
point. Well, we'll see.
Because let me tell you something. They weren't good against Louisville. Like, Notre Dame hasn't really played.
Well, wait a minute. They're too far out when they lose to a team that they were that was favored at their home field?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, though.
That's a big you just said no. It's a good win because they were underdogs. But if they lose, it eliminates them.
No, it doesn't limit them. It doesn't
eliminate. But no,
you just said
it
eliminates them, Lance.
It hurts. No,
you
hurts
fall
them.
Fall back.
Yeah, it hurts them. But it doesn't
eliminate
them.
Fall back. Of course they'll fall back.
That's what I'm saying. It's not. It's going to be hard for them. Look, if Clemson beats them, the only thing they would have to beat Trevor Lawrence in that scenario. Then you now have. We know Ohio State's not going to lose, right? Alabama's probably not going to lose. So those two are going to be locked in. I don't think Notre Dame, if they lose, because if they lose, everyone's going to go, man, they won 12-7 over janky-ass Louisville. And you know what I mean? It's going to look bad for them because you start to add it all up, especially if they get beat handily. In this first one, even if they beat Trevor Lawrence, I'm not sure they're inside the four.
Yeah, if they get beat handily. If they lose a close, tight one, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. With one loss, who do you take? The team that just lost to Notre Dame in the championship game or the team that beat Notre Dame earlier but lost to them here?
Well, we've seen it happen before. It was a BCS-type situation, but...
Usually you go with the proven hammer.
Are you taking undefeated Oregon over one-loss Clemson?
Yeah.
Well, look at Wisconsin. Let's throw Wisconsin.
Oregon going to have? How many games are they potentially going to play? At a most, seven, right? Seven, eight?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but here's how Wisconsin's got to do it, though. They got to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. So that'll be, they can go 6-0 without playing Ohio State, but when they got to beat Ohio State.
All right, what if they go 6-0 and they lose to Ohio State 34-31?
They're out.
And Ohio State, they haven't played enough games, but I mean, they're sitting in Wisconsin's in the top 10, right?
Yep.
Right around there, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Starts turning into a decision between a one-loss Wisconsin to Ohio State or a Notre Dame team who lost
Clemson. They're not taking Wisconsin over. They wouldn't take Wisconsin over Notre Dame one loss in a normal situation.
You don't.
I think Notre Dame has hurt their postseason value.
Yeah, that's what I think. Voters kind of seen what they've done.
And if the kid,
it's not the Grant, voters,
if Mertz looks really good by coming back, if Mertz looks really, really good, then I wouldn't be surprised at all if a one-loss Wisconsin team doesn't pass a one-loss Notre Dame.
No one believes Notre Dame is any good enough, and no one believes Wisconsin. I don't care what. No one looks at Wisconsin's team and goes, they can challenge. It's the perception, whether right or wrong.
Well,
and they've only played seven games, maybe. They're going to punish them for that.
Well, and again, though, it all comes down to beating Ohio State. That's it.
They're not beating Ohio State.
Well, I don't know. Mertz is a superstar.
No, he's not. He played Illinois.
He played one game. He's a superstar.
The backup,
he's
too.
Not. So was KJ Costello played one game, and he was a superstar.
He was a superstar, but then he played more games. And then we found out what he was. 9:30 ESPN. Lance, time to get some insurance here.
TGS Insurance wants you to keep more of your money. You deserve it. You worked hard for the money. You should keep it. And usually you have to make cut after cut after cut after cut to try to get your finances in order. But TGS Insurance offers you another plan, and that means A-rated homeowners insurance without paying ridiculous fees. What they do is they have an aggregated group of homeowners insurance that they can offer you from different groups. And within 15 seconds, you can get a firm quote and find out exactly what it's going to cost you. Now, if you want to add flood insurance, they can add flood insurance for you. That's done separately. But what you find with TGS Insurance is that in many cases, when you text the word money to 232323, once you get the quote back and you compare it against what you're paying, you will want to immediately change. Your savings might be $1,100, $1,200. And what you can do is you can ask them to get the process started. You end up doing some minor work on your end in terms of DocuSign and things like that. And then they end up posting it to the other company, and they will get the change made. And from there, you can actually have your insurance changed on the exact same day. And all that prorated money you may have paid to your homeowner's insurance, that's all going to get sent back to you. So you can make a change today, and they can even help you find car insurance if you're worried about losing your bundle. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323, where they are seeing an average annual savings of $900 per customer.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Now, why did the Dolphins trade Isaiah Ford to the Patriots?
They believe they have better options, particularly one, at least at some point, Antonio Callaway, coming off his suspension. He will be available. Ooh. He won't play this week against Arizona. He's barely practiced.
Callaway is a coin flip whether or not he'll be around.
True, but and they
no, it's not. He won't for long.
And Isaiah Ford's is fine, but they feel like Lynn Bowden from Kentucky, who they traded to the Raiders, or traded somebody for to get from the Raiders. A guy the Raiders just drafted is an option. They like Malcolm Perry, the former Navy quarterback, and they also have Jakeem Grant. Isaiah Ford was nice. He's okay. He's just a guy.
Have you? Let me ask you.
He was playing well when Fitz was out there, no?
He wasn't targeted very much. He's okay. He's just a guy they feel like is replaceable, and they have a couple guys who they think have more potential.
Is that the guy from VTech?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember him. I always thought he was going to be better than he had
been. He's been hurt a little bit as well.
So we had asked, too, Antonio Brown, why are they doing this? They've got a bunch of – guess who's hurt again?
Who?
Goodwin.
Oh, again?
Godwin. Yeah.
Well, he's been hurt. Is this a new injury?
No, he's been hurt. Yeah. He's hurt again. He's still hurt. And he's so hurt. Yeah. So Antonio Brown said he'll have a role. He doesn't know if it's going to be 10 plays, 35 plays. Probably won't be 60, Arian said. But he's going to have a role, and you add this guy. How much do you think in his 10 years, what do you think he averaged yards per year?
In his 10 years, I'd say probably about 1,180.
That's 1,126.
Yeah, he's really talented. He gets open.
Seven and a half touchdowns per year.
You know, they play him outside, Pittsburgh did, but I think from the slot, he could be a Tom. Tom Brady, I think you want things towards the middle, inside the field, and that's where I think Antonio Brown, you stick him and Scotty Miller in the slot together, which I wonder if this is going to mean. No, I think you'll see the same amount of Gronk. So Antonio Brown will probably play outside while Godwin.
He and Gronk are starting to get on the same page now a lot. Evans is a goal line guy for him now, and you've got Antonio Brown. If he's the same, I know. So what do you expect of him? 80% of what he was. I mean, is he still that same guy that can dominate a league? I don't know. He's such a freak athlete.
They did not look good against the Giants, but the way that Todd Bowles calls a defense and having a guy like Antoine Winfield in your secondary, who's just such a smart, safety back there, even as a rookie. JPP didn't do a whole lot the other day, but when you just start looking at the roster and you start checking the composition and you look at, they've got Ronald Jones, who didn't do a whole lot the other day. They just went to primarily just Fournette. But Fournette, you add a Fournette. You add a Jason Pierre-Paul. Now an Antonio Brown. Rob Gronkowski. You start to add all these things up. Now you've got you know, Bruce Arians on offense and Todd Bowles on defense. There's a reason why a lot of people think that could end up being a team to beat. Not Seattle, who else would be the favorite right now? New Orleans? I don't know, man. New Orleans doesn't give me – if you don't have Mike Thomas on the same page as everyone else in New Orleans, if he's not healthy, that's really you can't win. You can't win in New Orleans.
What a killer. And they got Tampa this week. That's a killer not having that. Now, I don't know if he's back. I don't know. But what if, for whatever reason, dude has lost his mind. Michael Thomas has lost his mind. How many times in the Super Bowl era has Dallas been a double-digit underdog at home?
Oh, they had some pretty bad teams before Jimmy, right when Jimmy got there. I'd say maybe four.
This is the second time. Second time.
In 1989. Yeah.
They were hosting the 49ers, and they were 14.5 points.
Yeah, it had to be 89 because that was that awful year.
I'm not sure which team is worse, if you want to know the truth. That 89 team? Did they win one game? They won one game, right?
Yeah, this team has way more talent.
Yeah, but this team sucks.
Rush is going to be the quarterback, and Cooper Rush definitely gives him a better chance than DiNucci did. I don't even know why they even mess with DiNucci. DiNucci's whole career is over now after one game. Like, he didn't look like he could run. The XFL's not – their XFL's going to be like, man, we ain't touching DiNucci.
No. I mean, no.
He was really that bad.
No.
Did he bring shame on your people, John?
A little bit. He did.
Well, I mean – There's no other way around it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
It's hard to hard to shame the Italians, but yeah.
Sabini could have done better than him.
What about the Texans' defense against Jake Luton this week?
They're going to get a little bit of a break. I mean, look, they faced Ben Roethlisberger, who really didn't kill the Texans, but Ben Roethlisberger, Lamar Jackson, obviously. You face Pat Mahomes. You got to give some credit to Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's had his moments as a quarterback. Who else have they faced so far?
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's been like a murderer's
Lamar Jackson, row of quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, it has been. Yeah, and now you get
Jake Luton. I just think it's going to be a big – this is the rookie's first start. He's got some good arm talent. He's got, he's got a lively arm. He worked in a multiple scheme over at Oregon State where he ran some play action based stuff. He ran some college stuff. He's okay. I don't think he's better than Gardner Minshew, but he's okay. He's okay. He's got a chance to move the ball a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be any different than what Jacksonville has done in the past. I like the Texans here in this spot. Now they're in Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. 6.5. They've already beaten Gardner here.
6.5 is a lot. 6.5 is a lot on the road, but especially with that, I mean, from a handicapping standpoint, bad teams should never lay 6.5. So you would take the, especially on the road, from a handicapping standpoint, you say, I don't care, I'm taking 6.5. It doesn't matter. I cannot lay 6.5 with a bad defense and a team that can't win and rarely covers. Realistically, I just think this could be a game where the Texans kind of get well on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. No.
At least for a game.
Right. This is the perfect matchup.
Or they're an operation shutdown and you're going to keep seeing, effort that is a little up and down.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see, man. I just would like to have New England's defense this week against the Jets. It's just terrible. But Jake Luton, the Texans defense, this is one week that you can actually grab the Texans defense if you're in fantasy. This is the one week. And I don't know any other game that you would take the Texans. When would you want the Texans defense ever? This is the one week that you can grab the Texans defense and actually play them in fantasy. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. Time to talk about some testosterone, Lance.
Men's T Clinic. I've gone to the location right there in the Heights. It's a very easy spot to get to, right off of. It's right off of 45. I'm not so good with directions, but not 45, but 610. right there by, not that far from Washington, Durham. That's the exit I was looking for, Durham. And there's Pasadena, there's Pearland, there's Cypress, there's Spring. There is the Heights. There's a lot of different locations, and it's such an important trip for you to make because at Men's T Clinic, they find out for you same day where your testosterone levels are. And if they're below a certain level, that means that you are seeing a decline in a lot of areas of your life. And you're going in there because you already know that. But Men's T Clinic can help get you right. They really can. And it starts with a customized treatment plan just for you. They fine tune it, and you're going to start to see results in your energy level. It can help with your libido, and you're really going to see a big difference in your workouts or in just converting belly flab to lean muscle mass, just the way you wear your weight. And that's what having testosterone level at the proper levels can do for you. Men'sTClinic.com. They are the ones who clean up the mess at other testosterone companies who don't get the job done. Well, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to treat you, and they will get results for you. I promise you that. Men'sTClinic.com. Go today and drop in and get tested. Men'sTClinic.com.
Load and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The Texans didn't do anything. Texans sat, did not get what they wanted from the Packers on the Will Fuller deal. It's a shame. I don't know. I guess Lance, we're on the same page here. They should have put JJ should have been out there. They should have tried to package.
Yeah,
that
I would have just seen what the market looked like.
Yeah,
and trust me, if JJ were out on the market and they were shopping him, we would have heard that. It would have been leaked. Agents or GMs would have told. You know, we would have. Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter would have had that. They obviously did not shop him at all. And to me, I just think you're not doing – you know, the one thing that Daryl Morey said, I will always listen to every deal, meaning you do your team a disservice if you don't find out what people are interested in. You really do. It doesn't make you a bad GM to say – or a bad ownership group or whatever to say, hey, I'll listen. What I don't know. What would you give us for J.J. Watt? What would you give us? No. We're not interested. You know, there's ways you can do it and be subtle. And you are not doing your job if you're not willing to at least listen. The Rockets right now should at least be open to hearing what somebody would give them for James Harden. You're not doing your job if you don't know what the marketplace looks like. It doesn't mean you have to even seriously consider it. But you should know what the value is for your players. And for you not to shop J.J. Watt right now. Now, let me paint another scenario. What if the Texans hire a GM and they trade J.J. Watt on draft day or before the draft? That's also a possibility. You could still potentially see them move J.J. Watt. It's just not at the midpoint with no GM. They could still, you know, and this isn't a bad idea. If you might say, look, J.J.'s our most valuable commodity. Why don't we wait till we have a GM in place and then we'll look at moving him in the offseason? And maybe that could still happen. And you trade J.J. Watt for a draft pick.
Yeah, no, that's a real possibility. And actually, I'm not too, you know, well.
Will Fuller's gone, but JJ, or, I mean, you can still sign Will Fuller, but.
Well,
know,
and the thought yeah. was under Bill O'Brien, he thought he was a number one. And so, God, you know, you got to hold on to that guy. Give him, you know, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5.
What's Mike Thomas make?
Four or five million more than whoever the highest paid wide receiver.
Mike Thomas is making like 18 or 20 million, something like that.
Pam the same team! Will Fuller change his team!
Like, Bill, why are you yelling? God, I got to turn my Toto up again. This is why he plays Toto so loud, Jack Easterby, because even Jack, who doesn't know what he's doing with personnel, he doesn't like getting screamed at all the time to pay guys this amount of money. And when that's your regular talking voice, that's just scary. It's. Do you think people have, like, PTSD in the building over there around... with the Texans, with just Bill making them walk on eggshells?
Do you think that that he has to listen to Toto because his hearing is bad because of Bill yelling all the time?
No, it relaxes him.
No, but what about the fact that he's got to play it really loud because Bill's been yelling in his ear for... It's like he goes to a concert every day.
He has to drown it out when this is coming your way.
Yeah. And listen, "You Suck Too" could be screamed at just walking the halls. Like,
no, that doesn't have to be. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's like
Bill was yelling all the time. It's like he's at a concert every day.
What are these sweet potatoes here? This is the third day in a row we've had sweet potatoes. I want baked potatoes. What are you doing as your job? You suck. I mean, I don't know. I just wouldn't want that.
No.
I wouldn't want Great Santini walking around the building screaming at everybody.
No. No, I don't want the Great Santini in the building. Well, I don't want Bill O'Brien in the building, period.
Well, he's no longer in the building.
Thank you. Thanks.
I don't really care what you say.
No,
but I don't think Toto's changing though, and out of Easterby's office.
How could he not listen to this song?
Hey guys, I just got this new sound bar. I think you guys are going to really like this surround sound.
Sound bar for Rosanna. He put in a new system in his new office for Toto.
Don't forget Africa too. Now,
hey, we'll play. I know they got a couple jams.
Do you think Jack Easterby call it? Do you think Jack Easterby knows the deep cuts for like Bread? Or see, Bread's too far back. I don't think he's listening to Bread.
Oh, I don't know. Bread, he could still be on Bread. Once you hear Bread, it's hard to get off Bread. Okay? Even though it was well before his time.
I think he's going to be more like Huey Lewis, you know? When a new drug, when it won't make you sick. See? Yeah. Oh, right here?
Jack Easterby.
This could definitely be Jack Easterby.
Yeah, but he's not listening to I Want a New Drug.
He's listening to The Power of Love, though.
Yeah, Power of Love. Because that could be about Christ.
That is.
You just don't know.
Did you see what Romeo said? You know, he's been saying, we ain't taking peanuts in trade. We ain't taking peanuts. Today he said no one was offering a deluxe nuts package.
Why is it always about food and nuts?
Romeo said that.
This is Romeo, man. He's thinking about what he's having for lunch. You don't think Romeo this morning during his press conference was going, man, what do you think they got? Do you think they got salami today or some gabagol?
I'm not going to hate. I don't know if he says gabagol. I'm not going to hate
sure
on him.
Sure, he says gabagol.
Because when
say gabagol.
When I wake up, I'm doing this whole intermittent thing where I only eat between 12 and 5. As soon as I wake up in the morning, it's like, what am I eating for lunch?
I know.
Immediately.
I know.
I'm always thinking about food as soon as I get up.
I do, too. I do
plan my lunch.
Today, I'm going to Wildcat, getting my food on at Wildcat.
Yeah, I don't fault Romeo for that at all.
No, but I don't think he says gabagool. I don't think he cares about that
sandwich. Did he say mozzarella?
No. I think Romeo just likes basic ham. It may be a ham sandwich.
No, nothing wrong with smoked provolone.
No, but I think Romeo's just like, give me a ham sandwich. And he just
broccoli Rob?
On the ham.
You don't think he's thinking about broccoli Rob right now?
I don't think he's thinking broccoli Rob. Del's part Italian.
I've watched too many movies. That's all that's about. Ma! More gravy! You're not going to talk to me like that, Johnny. You don't talk to your mother like that, Johnny.
Oh, if you want gravy, Mom's there for you.
I know. She's got it ready.
She's ready. You don't have to yell it.
Sausage and peppers, some bread, dip it in a little oil.
My last meal when I'm on death row is going to be sausage and peppers. I don't know what I did, but that's going to be sausage.
You think they're going to provide you with good sausage and peppers on death row?
Oh, yeah.
The good stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get it. Oh, hells yeah. I'm going to get it from Palermo's. I'm going to want their sausage pizza with some sausage and peppers.
And they're going to go pick again.
Yeah, we're not going to Palermo's.
Do another pick.
No, well, we had the other. No, sausage and peppers you can get. Or Nick's. Nick will make me sausage and peppers. They'll do that.
Nick
he loves Nick. Peppers? What do you mean, does he trust him?
No,
of course
but
he
on
does.
The sausage and peppers. I never hear you talk about Nick's
sausage. Oh, are you crazy?
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of body.
Of course I talk about Nick's sausage and peppers.
Who are you talking about?
I like to talk about Nick's sausage.
Yeah.
I like to talk about his sausage and peppers.
I only hear you talk about your own sausage and peppers.
I make, stop already.
Disrespectful. Hey,
you don't know nothing about my sausage and peppers.
Del's in for Italian mode. Del's in full Italian mode this whole segment.
You hear him, John?
Yeah.
So disrespectful.
Did you see
Ryan Clark's?
Yeah, I know what he is.
Yeah, half a
half a crowd? What do you mean half a?
What about the scene about the eggplant scene when, if you've never seen that in True Romance, where basically not Harvey Keitel, but who's the actor that was gone for
Christopher Walken? Man.
No, well, Christopher Walken is,
he's in the scene.
He's like, you know, you gotta look at yourself and ask yourself a question. And he's asking, what's the guy's name? The who was in? Oh my God, who was like a lunatic in a 70s? Dennis Hopper. So Dennis Hopper knows he's going to get killed, and Christopher Walken's there questioning him. And Christopher Walken's Italian. He's like, you know where they are. Don't act like you don't know where they are. And so Dennis Hopper decides to tell. He doesn't want to give up Alabama Worley and his son. I think his son is the other actor. And so all of a sudden he starts telling a story about the Moors, and he starts basically just talking about how Italians were interbreeding, and it, he's just trying to get him. He doesn't want to die a slow death. So he's trying to make Christopher Walken so mad that he kills him with just a gunshot. And he finally gets to him. He finally, after he insults him so much, he insults the Italian people so much. Finally, Christopher Walken can't stand anymore and just blows his head off. That scene right there is an intense, intense scene, by the way. But I got to say, when it comes to, Italians. Okay, so I'm looking at Twitter yesterday, and Ryan Clark says, hey, man, I got to admit it. You know, I've never really talked about Goodfellas because I just watched it for the first time. Man, that's a really good movie. We are 30 years down the road, and Ryan Clark's that guy going, man, that's a really good movie. I mean, I feel bad about saying that about Peaky Blinders now. I know I'm behind the times.
You're way behind.
On Peaky Blinders, or the same thing where people start telling you about, hey, man, this Game of Thrones, you were right. It's really good. I'm on season two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God, catch up. But Ryan Clark is telling us, man, Goodfellas, this is a really good movie.
I got to tell you something, Lance, you may not know. Sometimes black people are behind on things. Like, have you seen that Chappelle Show sketch where he's talking about he's playing a just Leonard Washington, I think, and he's looking at a people and he goes, "Who the hell is Renee Zellweger?" Sometimes, sometimes it is what it is. We catch things late. That's all.
Yeah, but 30 years.
We were busy.
He
was busy. He was playing football. What do you want from him? He had a long-standing pro career.
I feel like black guy. I don't know. I guess there's just not enough time to find this stuff out. But I feel like that's one. I mean, mafia movie, gangster movie.
It's not Scarface. Scarface is
Scarface
always
is obviously.
Is
I'm staying
there.
Away from. Yeah, I'm staying away from Scarface. But I feel like, well, Blood In, Blood Out is a little too. Anyone who sees Blood In, Blood Out,
I bet you, if you asked him if he's seen New Jack City, he would say yes.
Yeah, he's seen Nino Brown. But I'm surprised he didn't at least, like, somebody didn't put him on at some point and say, dude, you got to watch Goodfellas right now. Maybe not Casino, but Goodfellas? You got to watch Goodfellas. Godfather. What about Godfather?
I don't know.
I feel like Goodfellas would be something that's more in line with everybody. Like,
Godfather's too slow for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a little slow.
Yeah. You gotta want to know about the entire... Yeah.
Dude,
culture.
Goodfellas is a
lock
long
in.
Movie.
You gotta lock in on Godfather.
Goodfellas.
My kids were like, nah.
Well, we know Raheel, our dearly departed, couldn't stand it. Says it's too slow. Doesn't like it.
No.
Well, yeah, but Goodfellas has something going on all the time.
It's how we grew up.
There's some intricate stuff in there. Yeah. You gotta love the art.
You want to know? You don't want to know? You don't want to know?
Yeah, we don't sell drugs in our neighborhood. We sell it to the And I love that line. It's so overtly racist.
Oh, you think?
Oh, that was racist too?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. We sell it to the I was like, man.
Look at the music.
This ain't the movie for me.
Harsh.
And look at the music differences too. You got.
Yeah.
And then the other ones. I know I'd go from rags to riches. You've got a very clear. Oh, I hear the music, Del. Fine.
Speaking of music, time for you to beat it.
Beat it, Lance. All right. Right now, I'm trying to get Jeff Aronoff to do something. This dude is blowing and going. He's awesome. He's got entire hotels, apartment buildings. He is doing it, and he's doing it all over the state. He is nonstop, this guy. And he'll get to your house, and he'll put in, you want an entire outdoor patio? Okay, what? What do you need? What do you want? It's got to be a big job now, okay? Jeff ain't coming over there for, you know, to fix the bricks on your fireplace. That ain't it. No. I got a couple of steps out. No, we're not doing that. You want to redo your countertops and cabinets. You want to redo everything in your kitchen. Okay, now we're talking. Well, let's put in an outdoor kitchen. How about let's do that? Let's put a pool in. All right, we'll take care of the tile and the patio for you. Let's upgrade this house. Let's upgrade this business. We ain't just doing a couple of steps here. That's not what we're all about. We're all about getting a big job done and doing it at 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. He loves hearing from our listeners. So if you're looking for that guy to go and upgrade whatever it is you need upgrading, you give him a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.